I'm sure we've all heard one or more of these phrases. Life is too short to live in someone else's dream. Life is too short not to be happy. Life is too short to wake up in the morning with regrets. So love people who treat us right. Forgive the ones who don't believe. And everything happens for a reason. Or those of you that are on social media, I'm sure you've seen these. Click like if you want to get money and a blessing today. Click and share if you want some luck. If you share this picture, you will be blessed. After all, don't we all deserve to be happy? That's the title of the sermonette. I deserve to be happy. Isn't blissful love and affection from a mate, or perhaps wishing that you had that dream job, car, or house the most important thing? Every one of us has heard of someone who has decided to quit their job, buy a new car, house, fill in the blank, spend way beyond their means for that little bit of happiness just outside their reach. There are passages in the Bible that some people focus on about wealth and happiness, but that's only part of the message. The airwaves are full of prosperity preachers promising you supreme happiness and wealth if you just buy their book, follow their show, or like their Facebook page. The world teaches us to focus on our own happiness and prosperity in this life. God tells us not to worry so much about this life, but to look to the future. So let's start in Luke 12. Luke 12, verses 22 to 34. Verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body or what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" Verse 29. "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Verse 32. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags for which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also." See here, God does in fact say that we don't need to worry, and we will be taken care of all. He does not say that we'll have the latest and greatest gadgets and trinkets. God knows what we need. This world preaches that faith will get us anything that we pray for. In other words, if there's anything that you want, this is called the Word of Faith movement, God will give it to you. Do you remember how the world was pushing the prayer of Jabez not long ago? Let's go ahead and find that in 1 Chronicles 4:10, and we'll read it for ourselves. This is the prayer of Jabez. First Chronicles 4, verses 10. And Jabez called to the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you will keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. This is one verse in the whole Bible. There are books, shirts, videos, testimonials, countless websites. They're all dedicated to this one verse. I'm still amazed how many people of God held on to this, hoping for great riches in this life. One even went so far to say, I know it's silly, but what can it hurt? I feel that this mentality does in fact hurt and turns God into a magic genie instead of the all-powerful Creator God, our Father. Jesus prayed to the Father, Not my will, but your will be done. Word of faith preachers focus on man's desire. Jesus focused on God's desire. The scripture says that God grants us our desires only if it is according to His will. This is 1 John 5:14. I'm just going to read it for you. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. So where do you suppose this attitude comes from? Is this attitude from God? Of course not. Let's go to the beginning of the book. Genesis 3. Most of you will know where I'm going with this. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now I want you to bear in mind, there was no crime at this time. No poverty. Everything was at their grasp. But for some reason, Eve thought she needed more. Genesis 3, verse 1. Excuse me, verse 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. Then the serpent said, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So why wasn't Eve happy? She had absolutely everything. She had probably the most handsome man in the world. Actually, the only man in the world. Life was probably pretty good. But Satan influenced her to thinking that she needed something more, something that was being withheld from her. She didn't even think that she needed it, and after a little discussion with Satan, she felt that she had to have it. Why aren't we happy with everything? God never told us that life would be perfect here. Life for Christians is hard, but the reward for living God's way of life is everlasting as a child of God. Are we so consumed to have the very best car, the house, job, significant other? Or should we be concerned with what God has in store for us? Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are that are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, that he also called; when he called, that he also justified; and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Verse 31. What then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. I find that very interesting. So I'm going to read verse 35 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I tell you, brothers, sisters, don't quit your day job. Don't buy that super expensive car, or boat, or house, or anything beyond your means. Follow God's law and commandments. Do what is good and upright, even if it doesn't bring you wealth and supreme blissfulness in this life now. To paraphrase 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. All my brothers and sisters, God's desire for us is ultimate happiness as sons and daughters with him.